Matthew chapter 14. I'd like to read a very familiar story here. Start reading in verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And I love this right here. It's not what I'm going to preach about, but the Bible says, "And he said, come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Can you say amen? Amen to the Lord's word. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this service tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll just help us. We need your strength, Lord. We need your touch. Lord, without you, we can do nothing, and we know that tonight. Lord, and I know that there's needs right here in our midst. And I know that you're the mighty God. You're the Savior of all the world. And I believe you, Lord, to reach down and do miraculous things right here in this service. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Very familiar to us story here. I'd like to look at the latter part of it. One thing I would like to point out, though, or a few things point out before we get to actually what I'd like to preach about, is the Bible says that Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. He pressured them to get in this ship. He very forcefully suggested it, I guess is what I want to say. I don't know if he made them get in the ship, but he constrained them. He forcefully suggested it. It was more than just a suggestion. He really wanted them to get in this ship. And Jesus knew that the wind and the storm was out there before they ever got in the boat. So many times we look back on our situation when we get in the storm, we say, "Well, the Lord, I felt like the Lord wanted me. I felt like this was his plan. I felt like this was his purpose." But for some reason in our idea, in our mind, we think that when we're in God's will, we're in God's plan, that it's immediate success. Hello? For some reason, we've got that figured out, that when we think that when we're in God's plan and in God's will, there ain't going to be no problems. Everything is just going to go smooth, smooth, smooth. But that ain't the way. They was in God's will. They was right in God's will. They was right where he wanted them to be. And they was in a storm. So you may be in a storm tonight, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're out of God's will. Hello? It doesn't necessarily mean that you're not where God wants you to be. The Bible says that he constrained his disciples get into a ship. go before him.
And the Bible says the ship was now tossed in the midst of the sea.
When Sister Bobby started singing that song, we'll understand it better by and by. I didn't catch it at first, but then they sang a few times, like us Pentecostal folks like to do, not just one time. At least, I mean, you got to at least sing each verse 3 or 4 times and the chorus 10 times. You know what I'm saying? Hello? Sing it through there so we'll get it. But after we sing it through several times like I like to do, it starts out saying, here we're often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Rolling clouds and howling tempest. Man, I thought, man, this is going right along with my message tonight. And I don't remember what David said, but he said something that went along with it too. Does any of y'all remember? But maybe it'll come to me in a minute. But he said something went right along with it, talking about trouble and things coming our way. But I'd like to get down here. Peter's out on the water. The Bible says he walked on the water. He was walking on the water. Jesus walking on the water, that's amazing, but he's Jesus. Peter's walking on the water, that's sure amazing, because he's Peter. Come on, church, we know God can do great things, but do we know that he can do them through us? Do we know that he can do them in us, in our lives? God can use us. Amen. Jesus walked on the water, but Jesus ain't the only one that walked on the water. Peter walked on the water too. Somebody say hallelujah. I was telling somebody one time they was in trouble, and I didn't know what to say. I didn't have the words to say. And I said to them, Brother Bob, it wasn't him, but I told him, I said, Jesus can still walk on the water, no matter how high the waves are. Does anybody believe that? Jesus can still walk on the water. If I remember right, I may have been here at the church, but I remember praying just right after I told him that. It was just a few minutes later after I hung up the conversation with them on the phone, telling them, trying to encourage them that Jesus could walk on the water in their storm. I got to praying and I got to thinking about this story, and it just dawned on me, Jesus ain't the only one that walked on the water. Peter walked on the water. Hallelujah. So you know what I said? Hey, Jesus ain't the only one that walked on the water, brother. Peter walked on the water too. And I know you need Jesus to walk on your water, but it might just be he lets you walk on your water. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you what, Peter was on top of the water walking. What a miracle. A supernatural miracle. It didn't just work out. You see, we get ourselves in situations and they just work out some way, somehow. And then there's other times, friend, they don't just work out. It's supernatural when you walk on water. Y'all still with me tonight? There's other times that, well, it just may have a coincidence and this worked out and that one come through and this one helped out and this here, there, and you know, all of it. And so God really don't get the glory. But I'm telling you what, when it's a situation like this, it's divine power that's holding Peter on top of the water. I'm telling you what, we get ourselves in trouble sometimes when nothing else will work but divine power, divine support, amen, holding him up, amen, holding him against the laws of gravity, holding him against the laws that should have sunk him, amen. We find ourselves on top of the storm, on top of the waves, amen. We know God can walk on the water, but what about you? Are you ready to walk on the water tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Every one of us believe Jesus can walk on the water. How about it? You believe Jesus can walk on the water? Come on, get your hand up here. You believe Jesus can walk on the water? All right, now how many of you want to try walking on water? We got 1, 2. Come on, church. Yeah, we want God to walk on our water. But when it comes to us, oh no, I'll just stay right here in the ship. Hallelujah. Bible says that he was walking on the water. In verse 30, I'd like to take my text that says, but when he saw the wind boisterous. Now, I'd like to preach to us tonight on boisterous wind. Boisterous is the definition of it in Webster's is like violent or noisy. Noisy was the number one word, noisy wind. Now, I can understand how he heard the wind, but I don't see how he saw the wind. Can you see the wind? You can see the effect of the wind. You can see the things that the wind carries, but you can't see the wind. But Peter saw the wind boisterous. I don't know how technical we ought to get into this, but anyways, sometimes it's just about as ridiculous as we could imagine the things that cause us to sink. Hello? He saw the wind boisterous. He saw the noisy wind. Really what he saw probably was what the wind was causing, but it doesn't matter. The Bible says when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. That's what I like to preach to us tonight. Number one is about this fear. I've been stuck on fear for a long time. Y'all notice that? Been preaching on it a bunch here lately. Have y'all noticed that or no? Come on, at least shake your head, make me feel good. I have preached on it two or three times here lately, at least within the last month, couple weeks. Amen. Fear, about fear. The Bible says right here, and the Lord's dealing with us something right here, church. When he saw the wind boisterous, when he saw this noisy, when he saw this violent wind, he was afraid. I'm telling you, one reason it says when he saw the wind boisterous is because I believe he was looking at Jesus and he got his eyes off of Jesus. And so it wasn't so much that he saw the wind, but that's what David said a while ago, when we get our eyes on the trouble. See, I knew he said something that went along with this message. Y'all was looking at me crazy. But when he saw the wind is when he took his eyes off of Jesus. And he taking his eyes off of Jesus brought fear, and putting his eyes on the storm brought fear. Listen, we've got our eyes too focused on the wrong thing in this day and hour, young people. I know it's hard to live right. I know it's hard to serve God. Amen. But put your eyes on Jesus. He's got you on top of the water, Peter. Amen. You've already took steps that no doubt is supernatural. You've already made steps in your life that there's no way you could have done on your own. Why are you going to take your eyes off of Jesus? Competition. The storm you're in is in competition for your attention. The devil wants your attention. He don't want your eyes on God. There's a couple instances I thought about. Number one was when the spies come back from spying the land, the 10 spies, all they could talk about was them big old giants, the sons of Anak. They got their eyes off of God and they got their eyes on the problem. Amen. If they'd have had their eyes on God and the blessings of God and the touch of God on their life and how the fear was on them people, amen. But they wouldn't believe God and they didn't trust God, amen. So they was afraid. Why was Peter afraid? He wasn't afraid because the wind blew every step he took on the water. He was afraid because he took his eyes off Jesus. I'm telling you what, the wind can blow just as hard as it wants to. When you've got your eyes on the Lord, there will be no fear, because there is no fear in him. Hallelujah. I tell you what, there's a scripture comes to my mind, but I can't quote it, so I'm going to slow down and read it. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Amen. It said, for because fear hath torment. Amen. So in other words, when you got your eyes on that one, amen, that loved us and he washed our sins in his blood, when you got your eyes on the one who loved us so much that he laid his life down for us, amen, there will be no fear. And then also, the Bible says when they saw the giant Goliath, they was afraid. So many times we're afraid. It's not because our trouble's so big. It's because we ain't looking at God. Bible says, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Are you fighting fear tonight? Is there somebody right here in this service that you are afraid of the steps that you're taking? You may have already took 3 or 4. I don't know how far Peter walked. Let's just say he walked halfway. Well, let's go from one monitor to the other. 1, 2, 3. He's already took 3 steps on the water. That ought to be enough to let him know God's got it under control. I feel like in my heart tonight I may miss it mile wide. If there's somebody, you've already took at least 3 steps. You've already stepped out and God showed you he's there. But now you put your eyes on the problem. Now you put your eyes on the numbers. Now you put your eyes on the boisterous wind, the noisy wind, the violent wind. Hey, the wind was blowing all the time around Peter. But he took his eyes off of Jesus. And all of a sudden he got afraid. I'm telling you what, I don't care how many steps you've taken. I don't care how close you are to God. When you get your eyes off of him, you're going to be afraid. Can you say amen? Well, then there's fear. And then there's sinking. First there's fear, then there's sinking. No, Peter starts going down in the water. You may be there tonight. You may have already started to sink. You know, when you step in water, you don't start to sink. You sink. But I thank Brother Dan that the Lord had his hand under his feet and just kind of let him down slow. How many times has God's mercy been to me, Brother Mike, when I took my eyes off of him and put him on the trouble? I should have went down like that. But instead, in his grace and mercy, he just let me go a little bit and let me realize, hey, I'm sinking. Hey, I'm going down. Amen. You see, fear brought something else. Fear brought something that Jesus said in 31, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? What Jesus said was, there's a question mark here. He asked him a question. Why did you doubt? Fear brought doubt. Does anybody know what the greatest sin is? The greatest sin is unbelief. There's not a greater sin laid out in the scripture that caused more problems than people not believing God. And I'm not going to say it's a sin to fear. But I will say this. I believe I can say this if the Lord will let me. That fear many times leads you to doubt. When you're afraid, it ain't very long, you'll start to doubt. Fear and doubt run a close race to each other. They walk hand in hand. When we start to fear, amen, it ain't very long till we start to doubt. Now, y'all may laugh at me, but I was going to cut this pine down for John and Honey. Big old thing. 37 rings in it, so 37 years, I guess, but it's big. Me and Brother Bob was going to cut it down. Well, I was kind of like Saul. I kind of got antsy. Remember when Saul was waiting on the prophet Samuel and he kind of couldn't wait? Well, I didn't think Brother Bob was going to show up like he said, so I went ahead and tried to cut it myself. And it didn't go like I planned, I'll tell you that. I thought it was going to get a high line. I'll tell you right now that it got down to one thing, and that was me just praying. And I believe God had mercy on me that day, yesterday, because I was praying, Lord. I mean, I tried to wedge it, Brother Mike. That pine's so soft, it wouldn't move, that big old pine. I had it cut just the way it was supposed to, but it wasn't going like I thought it would. It wasn't falling like I thought it would. And I'll tell you what, I learned a valuable lesson. Because when I began to pray, a whole lot more got involved. If I'm going to pray, I got to trust God and quit doubting and being afraid. Of course, the Lord was already dealing with me along these lines in this message, so I'm trying to tell myself, stop being afraid. And I was afraid. I mean, it could have hurt people, high lines, fences, other people's fence. I mean, you know, it was a lot in, and nothing did. It fell. It didn't fall like I wanted it to, but it fell all right. Amen. You ever been there when it didn't go the way you wanted it to, but it went all right? I'll take it. That's good enough for me. But I was afraid, and I had to pray, Lord, help me not to be afraid. Matter of fact, it was to the point where I thought I got the victory. And I mean, this went on for probably 30 minutes, that thing just sitting there teetering. I didn't know which way to cut it or what to do. I couldn't get my saw in there the way I wanted it to go, and I knew I wasn't going to cut it the other way. Amen. So, this 30 minutes. Well, I come down there, and they're pushing a car out of the way. What in the world y'all pushing that car out of the way for? Hallelujah. I was trying to really believe God, but I'm glad they pushed it out of the way, because it might would have got hurt. But anyways, the greatest sin is unbelief. And so fear and doubt run hand in hand many times. When you start to be afraid, it won't be very long where you'll stop trusting God. And when you stop trusting God, you will start sinking. It don't matter how many steps you've taken. It don't matter how firm you think your steps are. When you stop trusting God, when you get your eyes off of God, you'll begin to fear. And when you stop trusting Him, you will begin to sink. Psalm 73, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Amen. He was beginning to sink. He said, for I was envious at the foolish, amen, and when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now that one word there ought to be good enough for us, but if it's not, I brought the dictionary to look it up, and I wrote the definition down here, and I brought the dictionary with me, because I thought this went right hand in hand. David said, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, I was envious at the foolish when I saw. How did he see the prosperity of the wicked? He took his eyes off God. Hello? How did he see the prosperity of the wicked? I'll tell you how. Brother R.C. took his eyes off God. The boisterous wind was a blowing around him all the time, but when he had his eyes on God, he didn't even see it. No wonder we sink so many times. We see every problem, but we don't see God. We got our eyes on the wrong thing, like I'm preaching about tonight, boisterous wind. Envy. He said, I was envious. Listen to the definition of envy. It's a noun. It is a feeling of mortification or discontent, excited by seeing the prosperity of another. It's right there in the definition of envy. He said, I was envious of the wicked. How was he envious? He had a feeling of discontent excited by seeing the prosperity of the wicked. How did he see the prosperity of the wicked? He was looking at them instead of God. And when he did that, he said, my feet was almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. You want to find a sure way to go down quick, get your eyes off God. Peter was beginning to sink. Now, I'm telling you what, church, there's no telling what trouble we'll go through in the next few years, days, months. We don't know what lies ahead. Amen. But I'm telling you what, amen, if you're trusting God and you're believing God, put your eyes on the goal, amen, and keep them there. Amen. If you're going to Jesus, the wind can blow around you, boisterous wind, which is noisy wind. It can blow around you, friend. Keep your eyes on God. He'll hold you up, even on the water. You say, I'm in sinking sand. Well, sinking sand has to be harder than water. And Peter was walking on water. How did he do it? He had his eyes on God. But when he got his eyes on the wind, he was like David. He said, my feet was almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Amen. The reason so many people are slipping in this day and hour, the reason people are giving up on God, is they're looking at the wind instead of God. Oh God. They're looking at the trouble instead of God. And it's a sure way to start sinking. You know what you do when you sink, Brother Bob? You drowned. Well, you say, well, he might have been a good swimmer. Well, not in a windstorm like he was in, he would have drowned. Some people say, Brother Sam, I can make it. Not in the storms we're in today, you can't. Hello? Say, Brother Sam, I'm tough. I got my mind made up. You don't understand what I've already come through. Peter, if you go down in this storm, you will drown because the waves are too high. Hey, you forgot your ship just about sunk. Hey, you forgot how hard this storm is. And some young people think they can make it in this day and hour with their eyes on the wrong thing, but they don't realize how bad the storm is. They don't realize how rough the waves are. I'm telling you what, the only way to make it is on top of the water with Jesus. The only way to make it in this day and hour is full of the power of God. The power of God that'll cause you to walk on water. The power of God that'll cause you to make it even when the winds are blowing. Put your eyes on God, young people. Don't put them on the wind. I don't care how bad it is around you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And just in case somebody's here sinking tonight, somebody say hallelujah. I got one more line. Just in case somebody's already going down. The Bible says he cried, Lord, save me. I love what it says. It says he caught him. He caught him. Hallelujah. He didn't go over and put his arms around him. No, he caught him. He might have grabbed his coat. He might have grabbed his collar. I don't know if he grabbed his hair or his hand or what, but he caught him. Listen, Peter's going down. I've got to get him. He caught him. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I'm telling you what. Some people think it's got to be this way. It's got to be a revival service. It's got to be a certain song. It's got to be somebody singing. It's got to be somebody testify a certain way. Listen, friend, when you're going down in the storm, it's time for Jesus to catch you. And the only way he's going to catch you is if you cry unto him. So if you're sinking in this service tonight, cry out to him. It might be a Wednesday night. It might be dead and dry. There might be nothing going on. But he'll catch you. He'll grab you. He might grab you by your collar. He might grab you by your clothes. Amen, your hand or what? But you mark it down, he'll catch you. And crying brought salvation. Bible says in Psalms 34, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his troubles. I feel bad sometimes, brothers and sisters, because I see people sinking. And I realize that if maybe a certain preacher or a certain song or maybe a service where there was a bunch of people, Sister Betty, they'd get in and they'd cry out. But because it's the way it is, y'all get what I'm saying? Huh? Because it's just an old plain Wednesday night service.
Because it's just so the same old, same old. But friend, when you're sinking, you better be crying. It's a pity to see somebody go down. But it's sure pity to see somebody go down, never say a word. Peter said, Lord, save me. I'm going down. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you're here tonight. If you're going down, it may be finances. Amen. It may be spiritual. It might be any need in your life. But you put your eyes on the wind. Amen. And not on God. Amen. And yeah, you took steps. I feel the Lord tonight. I feel like I'm talking to somebody. I can't help it. I just feel like it. Amen. And you're going down. It's time to cry. It's time to cry out to Jesus. Save me. I need your help. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm sinking in despair. I'm sinking and I need help. I'm sinking and I need help. I remember as a young person, you know, going to youth camp and camp meeting. When I was young, Brother Russell McDonald preached camp meeting a bunch. Seemed like he preached it the whole time I was growing up, but I know it wasn't. Had to be 3 or 4 years in a row. Probably one of the most critical years of my life. And of course, Brother Shoecraft, he's preached youth camp ever since the first year I went. And so I looked up to those men because they preached to me so much. And I'd be in camp meeting. Oh, Lord, if you'll just let Brother McDonald come over here and pray over me. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, but you know it. Come on, somebody say amen. Am I the only one? Lord, if you can just have this, that, or the other. And then he come by pray, but before he gets there, Lord, have him say this, that, and the other. Come on, church, now. I mean, we got to be realistic here. We know God knows our hearts. I remember one time I wasn't too young. I wasn't too old, probably 15, 16, kneeling down there by the altar, by the pulpit, looking up Brother McDonald's blue eyes. If he'll just look at me. If he'll just look at me, you know, and then it got to where if he'll just pray for me. He done looked at me 5 times. Then if he'll just lay his hand on me. Come on now, church. Amen. But when you're going down, when you're going under, and the storms are raging, it don't matter if Brother Sam prays for you. It don't matter if Brother Brandon runs around the church. It don't matter if Sister Bobby lets out a war whoop or Brother Roger runs around. When you're going under, you know you're going under. Come on, church. You're going to cry. The Bible says he cried. It wasn't no, Lord, save me. No. It was a plea from his heart. Lord, save me. You know what happened, Brother Mike? He caught him. I said he caught him. Seems like their song, and I'm going on way too long. Evidently y'all are with me now, and I'm just going on, you know. I'm really trying to quit. I'm continuing to close. But seems like there's a song that said I was going down for the last time. No one heard my cry. My voice was gently fading. I was drifting with the tide. Then a hand from out of nowhere gently slipped in mine. And I thank God he found me just in time. Now this is in the commentary of Samuel Snow, chapter 1 and verse 3. See, I only got about 4 verses in the whole commentary. This is about the middle. Peter starts to go down. I think the water was about right there.
Lord, save me. Then the water come over. Oh, but he caught him.
That's the way it was for me. If it had been 1 second longer, I'd have been under. And I'd have been gone. How about you, Brother R.C.? If it had been one more day, amen, I'd have been gone for good. But he caught me. And he saved me just in time. I saw them pictures. Amen. I don't know if it was what news it was on, but I saw them pictures. Amen. Online where that guy had somehow got in Niagara Falls. And it was snow. And he was almost to the cliffs. And they brought a helicopter. He was hanging onto a rock. They brought a helicopter in there with life preserver or something. Life kind of like an inner tube. Not like my inner tube, but like them ones that you use. I've got to quit, y'all. Hallelujah. Help me. Stand together with me. I'm done. But Sister Betty, they said when I read that story, that helicopter come in there and it came low, that the wind blew him from his rock and he lost his grip. If I remember right, I know he lost his grip and he was going for the edge, and that helicopter just dropped that lifeline and he caught it, and the helicopter took off and they saved him right before he went over the edge. Was that the way it was for you? If it had been one more second, I wouldn't be here tonight. If it had been one more day, if it had been one more instance, but he caught me just in time. Let's find us a place to pray tonight. If you're here tonight and you're in fear, put your eyes back on Jesus. If you're here tonight and you're sinking, cry out to him. Oh, he'll save you just in time.